got sunlight we can't chase. We can see where it takes us, writing stories that shape us. It's a good time to find a little magic in the moonlight. All that we can discover in this sky full of wonder. We got everything beneath our feet, we see it all. Born for adventure, made to run free. Days we'll remember with the world to see.
Hi everyone, welcome to Simply Brimmy's podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Gert Loganesh, and the rest of the team. Well, welcome. It's we're already halfway through January and so much has already happened. I've gone for my first hiking trip for the year. One of many to come. I already organised the next one for next weekend. So lots to share there. We've also opened up another website called simplyblooming.com.au, and that specialises in our photography and what we're doing when we go on our adventures. And that links back to our simplyblooming.life, which is where we share a larger repertoire of things and what we've got planned, with more videos coming your way. More shares, more meditations, actually meditations from Ganesh. So last year I shared that he was going to be doing more on that and doing some recordings, and also what he really wants to do is go direct to people, because in Simply Blooming we're all about self-empowerment, being confident in oneself and going direct as source energy to source energy. So it's one and the same. But often people separate, you know, they'll look to something outside of themselves. And that's lovely, because there's a lot of vastness in infinity, naturally, because it's infinite. And then beings are a part of that. So we'll be talking, we're doing a collaboration as well. I'll come back to the meditation in a minute. So we've got another podcast coming up towards the end of January, which is a global collaboration, where Professor Vishnu Nair will be probably staging it, because he's going to be the one doing a lot of the questions or instigating a lot of the questions, and then the other collaborators will then join in as well. But he has a lot of questions, so that'll be a period of many podcasts, collaborative podcasts, maybe once a month depending on when anyone's available. But that's really exciting, and that's going to be interesting, because we'll cover topics, a broad spectrum of topics actually, including energetic, naturally, so Pleiades, Acturians, everything in between that. Those that are on Earth that are resonating with those energies, nature, you know, that's my specialty, communication with nature, as nature, and more about that. I'll be doing some special podcasts on how I communicate with nature, on the frequencies that I communicate, where I resonate with it, and why I have such a high value of nature itself as a conscious reservoir of energy. It is so conscious of so many things. And it's interesting, because working in the field where you're coming across many professionals, whether it's ecologists, plant biologists, bird specialists, you know, there's so many horticulturalists, bush regenerators, there's so many. But they're able to understand, like people who study birds, and it probably many of you, that you understand certain bird calls. That's not the communication I'm talking about. No, not at all. I love it and I can hear them, but I don't necessarily separate what bird or what fauna in any case. That, you know, I don't necessarily, that's not really how I'm necessarily communicating, because, you know, in this world we're very big on labeling. But when you're working from a particular tapestry of light, the labels sort of dissipate right away and you're simply present. You know, you're present. And so the communication isn't based on your form type. It's just simply an exchange of energy. So that is really where I come from, working with nature, and I immerse myself as much as I can. And so you'll be involved in that, those who want to participate, where I'll be going a lot more hiking, doing more hiking trips. I wanted to also go on a through hike, so those of you who are into that sort of thing, you'll understand what a through hike is. It'll be my first in this form, and actually I'll be with the team on an energetic level, but that's something that's somewhere down the track, maybe the second half of the year, just because the first half is so busy already. In a happy way. Ganesh is going to be those who are interested and really want to participate with him directly, so he's going to be working on sharing his flow of a moving meditation. In other words, life is like yoga. It's the same. There's no separation. Yoga is life itself, as is the meditation within the yoga. It's also life itself. So, you know, a lot of you might be the ones that sit down and do your lotus and sit in a quiet space, and that is really exquisite. But he's focusing on a moving meditation because, you know, it's about living it, the embodied energy of it. So you're living it nanosecond, microsecond by microsecond, you know. And it doesn't mean that you don't go out of kilter sometimes, you know, or you have a low moment, or you think you're going a high moment, and all those things and everything in between emotionally and mentally and spiritually, right, as well. There's no separation for us with any of those. It's all part of the wholeness of self. But he's going to go deep diving with you for those who want to. We know that some people don't like to deep dive. I love it because it just consists of expansion, and I love expanding. And I love letting go of what I think I know, because I've noticed when, you know, I love also studying, and I love participating with people who love to keep growing in that way. I find it still limiting, but I also think it's important for me to then resonate with where people are coming from with different elements, and also be excited that other people are going on their adventure, learning through their modalities of growth and whatever that means to them. So I love being around people who are inspired by that. So that's something that Ganesh is working on now. And because he's going directly to you, for those who want to, you know, only if you want to, but I highly recommend it. He's so funny to work with, and he's so funny just to be around. And on that note, I will say, so, you know, a lot of people ask, oh, do you channel Ganesh? And I don't. You know, Ganesh is equally this form as the I am that is speaking to you in the feminine form. Ganesh is also Ganesha, so he's also a feminine form, masculine form, and neither, as we all are really in essence. But no, he's also this embodied energy. And sometimes you'll hear him with a different tone. Sometimes he'll use the same tone as you're hearing now. It really just depends. If you need a point of difference, then he'll come in and use a different accent, and so it goes on. But that's movement. That is ether, vata, or ether, air. And then, of course, the dance of the elements around that. So the two of us will, and Lord Shiva as well, and some of the other members, Pravati Hanuman, because he does plant biology. So we'll be coming together over a period of different podcasts, in snippets of each podcast, just weaving that tapestry of understanding into that. And also my Indigenous family, they'll be touching base with that. I go hiking with one of my family members who's also an Indigenous being of light, in a different vibration, so not seen by everyone anymore. But he's definitely someone that I love being around when I'm in the bush. Australia has so much beautiful bushland and rainforest, and I love sitting in the stillness of the abyss with him, because it takes you out of your mind. It takes you out of your mental and analytical mind that constantly is analyzing, you know, analyzing. And those of you who ever do bush regeneration or something like that, or even people who, you know, love to garden, and I know there's a lot of you out there, and you'll go into your garden, you'll see weeds, or you'll see, you know, a plant that you love, and maybe a weed, you know, isn't a weed for you, and all that sort of thing. But you're constantly assessing, you know. But when I sit in the stillness of the abyss, then you're simply the presence itself that is nature itself. And it's a very different true union. It's another way of having the expression of samadhi. And so I love sharing that with him. And he was also one of the instigators to remind me of what it is to be in non-separation when I'm out there. Because in our fields, in our worlds, whether you're an ecologist, botanist, everything in between, teacher of some sort, a citizen scientist person, you're into iNaturalist or whatever it is that you're into, horticulture, all the rest of them, it's very botanically name-based. And it's something that I actually have to work at, because I don't really enjoy that aspect, to be quite honest. And actually, people who are learning, you probably find most people will say, you know, because the names, it's learning the pseudo-Latin names, because then it's not the Latin, original Latin. But so I really love being in the abyss of the oneness of nature. And so I love that level, that way of communicating and being present, and the recognition of what the plants are within that symbiosis. And I was talking to someone the other day, and I'll get back to Ganesha's meditation, just bear with me, because it'll tie back in. Oh, okay now? All right, so Dalings, yes, that's true. So, you know, the moving meditation, so I'll utilize, Isis is an example. So her moving meditation is something that she expresses most effortlessly when she's immersed in nature, you know. And usually she likes to be there with, you know, the wider vastness of the isness, and also obviously this Simply Blooming team, because we understand her synergy of sound. So it's effortless, you know. When she's around other people who are very analytical oriented, or feel the delight, which it is a delight for so many of you, which is wonderful, when you guess or you key out a plant and you say, oh, that's the plant name of that. You know, it's an isopogon, or it's a type of banksia, or whatever it is that you're keying out with your plant identification. For her, it's like this constriction around her heart center. So I'm going to share this story because you are all unique as to how you resonate with anything. So the moving meditation that I'm going to dive deep with you directly, for those who want to co-create with me directly and help you, if you're open to it, I'm happy to. You may not want it, you know, it's okay too. But each one of you will have your own uniqueness to what a moving meditation is for you, you know. And, you know, we're so aware of so many stresses of your world that is created by, you know, your socioeconomic affairs and how you resonate with what is work and all the things that go in with family life, and so it goes on, or not having a family, or even not having what you feel like is not many friends. But let me tell you, darlings, you have so many. You have so many that you don't even know you have. So, and yet you can also sit in the stillness. We have a beautiful friend who lives in another part of the world. She has this ability to go deep and sit in the abyss of the darkness of light. You know, it is the darkness of light, and she can just sit there and be there within herself. I mean, it doesn't mean her body sitting, and just be that presence without anyone in her peripheral for a long time, long periods, because that she is a deep, deep thinker, a dweller of light. You know, and it is beautiful, not really understood by many people because it's a doing world, right? Very few out of the billions of people there are really feel totally at ease in that state of abyssal light, you know. So not that you don't desire it, but you know, who has the time? You know, this is what we hear all the time. Who has the time? And we wouldn't even say make time, just be it. Be in the timelessness, and then everything has its own timeliness, you know. So that's what I will be doing. But what I will do with Isis as well is we will do some recordings. It will be interesting, the recordings, because for some of you it may not make sense because it's not in what you perceive as meditation, but it'll be more like discourse, like when, you know, we worked on the Mahabharata or the Rig Veda or the Vedas itself with the rishis. You know, we were front and present with all of those. So it will feel paradoxical for some of you because you'll want to go into your analytical resonance, and it won't come from there because it doesn't come from a self-analysis. It comes from your state of total wonderment in being, you know. So it'll be interesting, and some of you will not take to it, you know, but many of you will, and that's okay too. Whatever it is that works for you is beautiful. Some of you are very hooked on the idea of making a space sitting in lotus or laying down in corpse pose or whatever it is, and that's your way. Or some of you, you know, whatever you do, you know what you do. There's so many of you, and you do something unique to you. However, this is something that is also very unique, and the patience you require of yourself, patience, because you'll want to be there straight away. And while you are, there's this catch-up phase within your body of the letting go and dissolving of so many belief systems. Oh my goodness, so many limitations within those belief systems. So this meditation doesn't work in any sense of limitation. It is limitless because it comes from infinity or source energy or whatever you want to use, what label you feel that serves your understanding. So that is something that we've already begun to work with directly with some of you, and you know who you are. And then those of you who are just putting it out there through a sound wave like this, through a podcast, to ignite that if you are interested. And it's also a state of readiness. Maybe it's not the timing for you to be that, and maybe it's something that you're interested in, but you know, whatever, you know. So it's up to you, but it will be out there in the universe through many, many platforms and also directly within our website. And it's interesting because the photography Isis is doing, she's committed to doing it for the next year through the adventures with Lord Shiva and her partner and others over a period of existence. They'll be shared in each one of those images, key-coded with different calibrations of energetic communicative nature. So that's really interesting. So it's, because each of the subjects within that, whether it's the just the vegetation or specifically a flower, or I think her latest ones were a lace monitor, like a gulwena, and just that connection as the eye met the camera. And, you know, just the meanderings of what happens in nature, nature just meanders through itself. And also that regeneration. So Isis is amazing when it comes to regeneration and all of those things, cellular renewal. So over the next so many podcasts, she'll deep dive with Hanuman, who is really your what you would call a plant biologist in the infinite realms of understanding, pure vibration. And, you know, so Isis attended something called Agnihotra last evening. And so for those of you who are not, don't even know what that is, we're not going to explain it. But if you do are and you are interested, by all means, just go into this website, Agnihotra, agnihotra.com.au. A beautiful couple do hosts there here in Australia, near the Hunter Valley, Wollumbai. And beautiful people, very grounded, have a beautiful energy that they are so open and sharing. But Agnihotra is a beautiful science. It's very interconnected with the siddhas and the rishis. Well, it is connected to the rishis because they downloaded it to the gurus of the era and or the siddhas, and also it's in the Vedas, but it's also in the Rig Veda. We had someone in this meeting that actually asked, where do I see it in the Vedas? So we would actually recommend, if you are inclined and that's your, you love to go into that, then the Rig Veda is a little bit easier for the knowledge to find in that text. However, these people are so lovely, and doesn't matter where you're in the world, please touch her. They're well traveled, so they've traveled all over the world, but do highly recommend them, actually. And no, this isn't a paid sponsorship, just so you know, but it is something that we know has a really deep resonance. Isis is obviously very insightful and she sees things. So before they did the actual Agnihotra burning of the cow dung in the sacred pyramid, then this beautiful energetic circle of Buddhist monks actually showed up energetically. And it's different each time you do an Agnihotra, different things happen. But this was what happened in this last evening's one. And they started chanting prior to the burning because it's all synchronized through a specific nanosecond, you know. And it's all energy-based. And so for those of you who resonate with the fact that you are all energy, you'll really love this, especially when it's done in alignment with how the original teaching was. So if you ask Isis anything about Ayurveda, oh my God, it's a whole different level of understanding because Ayurveda is taught so differently to her original understanding when Lord Shiva taught her about it with the rishis. So, you know, but yeah, definitely check it out and touch base with them. They're really beautiful. They have a beautiful person who is woofing at that place called Adam, and he does a lot of the, he looks after the cow dung and makes sure there's enough supply. He works with the beautiful daisy cows. And has done amazing things with the owners, with their garden, and it's a constant work in progress. But what they are doing is they're going to be setting up, it's almost ready, maybe by winter they think, an Ayurvedic retreat, which is really beautiful. It's a lovely energy there, very authentic, where they'll you'll be able to have therapies and just stay there. So wherever you are in the world, definitely contact them and find out more about it. And they're so openly helpful to everyone. So we wanted to share that with you all because it was so lovely to meet people who are very grounded, you know, and are very open with their knowledge. It's a gift to the world, really. So So back to the meditation, and so that's something to be present in any time, and then over whatever we will be doing those recordings. So that's super exciting. And so this podcast, we're going to dive deeper into self-awareness. So in self-awareness, it's an evolution of your own adventure, but being willing to be open, letting go of the critical mind, letting go of the judgmental mind. And really, we find the easiest way to be that is to go through the air element within the ether. So the ether is space and sound. And so by going through those elements, instantly you're set free through the heart center. Your heart will open up wide. And it's a nanosecond. It's literally microsecond, nanosecond, instantaneous experience. It's not something you have to, sit and chant for a long time or anything, those things. Also, sometimes you feel great joy when you do that. But, you might be in a work environment and that's a bit tricky, isn't it? You could break out into a chant in some environments, I'm sure, depending on what your work environment is. But, or you may say it internally, but sometimes saying something out loud or singing out loud is still very profoundly effective, but you may not be in that circumstance. So using the air element with your breath and allowing your rhythmic breath to come through and rise and shine is an awakening state in itself, because instantly your mind frees itself of the conundrums it keeps creating and co-creating on a social scale. So that's, something that we put out there as something that is wise to do. Whether you do it is totally up to you, like everything that we share, because we just love sharing different elements of what you're able to be in and be of and be as. And then how you integrate that into your daily life. But a lot of the time, when you're caught up in something, who's thinking about it? You're so caught up with either the excitement of what's going on or the confusion or the, oh, I feel a bit lost, So on that note, how many people, how many of you sometimes feel like, gee, I feel a little bit lost, So in a new year, so many people start a new journal or they create a dream board or vision board or you have some other way of goal setting if that's your thing. It's different for different people, So whatever it is for you, that. So a lot of people do that now because it's the beginning of something. For us, it's a beginning always. We have new beginnings always. And but we also have expansions with all those. Once you've had your new beginning and it's gone on from that first newness days, we keep expanding with that. But always something percolating as well, ready to start anew and refreshed. So if something is not working for you, then you have that ability in a microsecond to make that decision. And while you may not know what you're going to be participating in, you've already had the intention to be it. And so then it starts to unfold, the clarity manifests, and you start to get a better understanding of where you want to be, what you want to participate in and what you want to co-create or create. So then the water element is just pure bliss. It's not only cleansing, it's restorative, it's regenerative. It is you, because you're so, on a very physical frequency. The water, which is also pure energy, is a lot of your particles within your molecular structure, right? And so allowing the cleansing of that to be consistent, being aware of what toxicity is around you, what you're creating through your thoughts or your emotions. If you're thinking a little bit toxically, that's a little bit tricky because it's quite hurtful for yourself. And remember, the theme of this podcast is self-awareness. So being aware of when you're talking down to yourself, or rather than boosting yourself up through kindness in the way you share your speech with yourself. If you're feeling like you're in a stuck space or in a bit of conundrum, then rather than panic or getting anxious about it, which is often you hold your breath, then just allow yourself to be. Whether you sit or walk, it doesn't matter. Just whatever you feel at ease with, just allow yourself to go into your breath and feel the instantaneous calm. And then you'll start to feel within your heart center, it'll be more relaxed, because your heart is a very conscious entity, It's an organ in your body, of course, but it is also very consciously cognitive. It is super aware of everything. And your heart is very wise, I know some of you are saying, but I've had a broken heart. Well, your heart doesn't actually break. Your mental state, will project that as saying it's your heart. But your heart is very strong, and it is a universal construct. So, you know, your heart is very empowered, you know. But what people tend to do is they take it, you know. They rip into their heart center and wound themselves, in metaphorically speaking, you know. But, you know, so whether it's through the language to self, you know, self-speaking, or, you know, just not really listening to oneself, you know, the depth of oneself. Because when we were doing some work many years ago, when we would say, are you ready to go deep diving, people will feel sheer terror, you know, like sheer terror, terrified to get to know oneself. I just could never understand why, because she never saw anything that was terrifying in anyone. You know, so maybe there's just that little bit too much judgment of what you think is good and bad, perfect and non-perfect, when in truth there is no such thing as anything, but it's using what adjectives, you know, that create a scenario for you that brings a sense of terror or fear to the party. So being aware is also being aware of what adjectives you add to your sentencing when you're talking to yourself or talking within yourself, or even talking with another outside yourself, being aware of the kind of language you're using. That's another self-awareness skill set that is really helpful for you to thrive in whatever way you choose to in this world. And hopefully you're using it for a thriving that do no harm, ahimsa, to another. So you can be using adjectives very consciously and using adjectives that are quite mean-spirited to another. And, you know, but ultimately you're also doing that to yourself. So we would question why you would want to. But that awareness, you know, and if you have just lost the plot for the moment and, you know, gone off on a tangent and, you know, being cruel to someone in some way, then, you know, being able to apologize, because, you know, that also frees up your heart center, because we always know when we're unkind to ourselves, and we always know when we've said something that doesn't quite resonate with your eternal truth. And so being aware of those things without judging yourself for it, you know, it's not the pseudo perfection that we have, that, you know, sainthood, I call it, you know, or Isis calls it sainthood. She says, you know, I'm not a saint, you know, she'll say, I'm not a saint, you know, I have my moments, like everyone, right, where you're tired, you know, because maybe you've been exerting yourself in an area that maybe has been draining for you, because maybe you need to call it and say, hey, I'm done, you know, let's keep walking or moving out of the situation, but you stayed in it for whatever reason, and so you feel the energetic drain. So, but equally, you can feel the energetic inspiration to just keep expanding your wisdom and your knowledge, and how you then ground that and manifest that into something that's fruitful for you. And another thing we're going to be covering in the podcast over whatever period of whatever in the timelessness is about your economic state. And what is economy? That's a big subject, and we're going to be doing that. We're going to be covering that in our collaborations around the global collaboration, because that's a tricky one. And how do you create change? You become the change yourself. And when it comes to economy, there's this terror around changing your economy. It's this fear, but I can't. If the disempowered self rises up instead of the empowered self. So it can be done in small increments. It doesn't have to be this almighty annihilation of let's move everything out of my system, and, you know, and then feel like you're floundering because you're not sure where to start. So we'll be easing those constructs into playfulness. And it is fun, you know. Playing with your own economy can be a joy if you allow it to be, you know, once you let go of any fear of not having. And it doesn't matter. It's not about how much money you have or don't have, because, you know, people who are multimillionaires can still have fear around money, absolutely. And equally, on the other pendulum swing, when you don't have enough, you're really struggling to pay bills, and you know, there's a lot of fear that comes up with that. But, you know, people power is the most beautiful and yet misunderstood of what is absolutely possible in this world. And people get sidetracked with creating wars with one another, whether it's a conversation at work where people are sending toxic emails to each other, which we've witnessed, or just being, you know, unkind. You know, that's a type of war. And then there's obviously the war that goes on in different parts of the world. So then the media captures that, and then the whole focus is placed on that, which is taking you away from the everyday journey of the wonderment of life. And that is the energy we would see more fruitful to expand within, and then that has a rippling out effect. And at some point in each and every one of you that comes into the playfulness of all that is through light and love, you know, you don't feel the desire to create the antagonistic self. You know, it doesn't really want to exist or be ignited, you know, because life is wonderful, you know. So we're very aware. Somebody is saying, yeah, but, you know, it's not. But it doesn't matter. Like, it is. So, of course, there's people who pass away, and there's things that happen that feel very sad. You know, Isis has got some things that are wonderful but also feel sad at the same time that are happening in with her nucleus at the moment. You know, because sometimes people come to a stage in their life where they're ready to move on out of their form. So absolutely, it's felt and experienced. It's an emotional upset, without a doubt. But it's how you flow through it that makes the difference. You know, you could amplify the sorrow and the sadness, or you could allow it to just percolate through you in its natural flow and allow it to move right out of your system so you don't hold on to it, that it makes you sad all the time for a long time, or it makes you feel quite unwell, which can happen with some people, because we know some of you in the audience are feeling that and have felt it. And then you turn that around and celebrate life as an eternal sense of self, you know, and that you become either formless or and love to just stream as energy, which is, you know, what a lot of people do, or they then reincarnate into other forms, not necessarily human, but sometimes human, just depends, maybe somewhere else. I mean, the cosmos is vast, you know, and there's so many belief systems around limitation that, you know, the mental mind, you know, is limiting its wonderment. But remember, you're more than your mind, and we don't come from a left and right brain. It's one almighty brain. And then, of course, there's the cosmic brain, which is all-pervading. So it's allowing yourself to, it's like, you know, when you go through uni or you go through some sort of system of education, you know, it teaches you something of something, but it doesn't teach you everything of what is, you know. So they're pinnacles of ways to learn, but not for everyone. Life teaches you many things. You teach yourself many things. You remember things through the eternal life experience. So there's not one way to come into a sense of awareness of what is going to be for you in your moments of co-creation and how you want to live your life. But, you know, they're openings of looking at things through someone else's lens. We always acknowledge that, but we also acknowledge the importance of looking through your own lens and wanting to expand that lens if you desire. You know, we worked a very long time ago with someone who had a job that was in finance, and she just loved to go to work, do her data entry and go home and never think about it. That's it. That was her. Didn't want to do anything else but the data entry that she would do through work, and she was happy. She had a totally different life that she loved to live. The income was coming from that job. Very content. In fact, it's the first time, and it was a long time ago, we came across someone who was just so, at such a young age, that was just what was for her in her life. And that works for so many people. It doesn't work for everyone. So knowing, and it can change, you know, maybe 20 years down the track, that shifted, maybe less than that. But certainly when we met her, it was that way. So this is, every moment is an opportunity to check and touch base with you to see where you're coming from, where you're at, but if it's a chore, then something is out of alignment. If you feel that's a chore to be that, and it's like, who can be bothered with that? Then it's just not within your vibrational energy at this nanosecond to it's not a point of interest, okay? And that's perfectly beautiful as well. You know, it's all beautiful. So this is all about self-awareness. You don't need to spend hours doing it or being it or any of those things. It's literally a nanosecond thought that comes up from your cosmic mind. And then when you're connecting to your being as source energy, you know, it's just rolling things out for your greater self, you know, in a physical form. It's fascinating to experience. And lastly, you know, we also wanted to share, or Isis is going to share. Yeah, that's true. So what I was going to share that just before we end this podcast is that in a physical form, you can have many life cycles. you know, some people have belief systems where they feel that they just have one life and they live it until they then pass on into some other existence or come in again in some other form. Or some people believe that, you know, once you pass on from this form, that's it, done and dusted, I'm done. And there's just the blankness of nothingness. And maybe it is for some people. It certainly is not, hasn't been for me. I've had many existences and happily so. But in this physical form, I've had many lifetimes. And it's a really interesting experience when it first happened, where it was like a rerun of a movie when the next life cycle was about to ignite itself. There would be this lifestyle, sort of life cycle of what I've already lived roll like a movie. You know, it would just like be like a movie. It's not like that for everyone, okay? There's not one size fits all of your experience. It's unique to you. But for what I've experienced through the life cycles that I've had so far, when it first happened, I didn't really, you know, think about it too much and I wasn't really aware of what that was. But then something would begin again, you know, and what was needed for what my life cycle had already been would integrate and then was no longer needed or no longer needed to be part of this next journey would be gone, completely gone. And so that was the next life cycle. And it's happened quite a few times. And this year was another life cycle, which happened towards the end of 23. And this life cycle is a very different one to the last one. And I don't carry the last one on except for integrations that are required. So maybe for the podcasting or maybe some personal things around a family nucleus. But other than that, it's a completely different life cycle. So some people with their dream boards or vision boards or vision wheels or journaling, whatever it is you have, or just focus of intention and whatever that is. Some people like to write different mantras, you know, different sayings, affirmations. You know what you like to do best for you. Some of you don't do anything, or beautiful or wonderful. Then my instigation was instantly I've committed a year to the photography of Simply Blooming and what we are carrying forward with a community of nature. So we'll be doing a special podcast interview with Sasha. And he's a musician, composer, and now a vocalist. He's just finalizing his album. So we're going to bring him on the podcast and interview him with his process, how he came into music. He was born in Russia and lives in Santa Cruz with his partner, Mari, who's also an amazing musician. Beautiful, very classically orientated, but really exquisite. As a synergy of sound, when they come together, absolutely stunning, really incredible. But even as two entities that living their life as people, beautiful people, beautiful energy that they immerse themselves in and then share through their music and so many other endeavors. So we'll be interviewing him and he'll be talking about his process, how he does his composing. He also teaches music to children. So we'll be touching base with that. And that'll also flow into what I do with in other podcasts, but we'll touch base just because he's worked on a song called Breach. And it's a song that I wrote with a dolphin. It was a collaboration with my friend who's a dolphin. And it was looking through the eyes of him, the dolphin, his male, and what it is for them when they're living in the ocean. And the lyrics are all based on the playfulness and joy. So I'll touch base a little bit on that and then carry that forward and into other podcasts as to why I usually work with one being of each species. Like at the moment I'm working with one blue-banded male bee. And then before that I was working with one honeybee. Even though I work with lots of bees, I'm talking in the oneness of each of those species. Gosh, what else is there? There's a lot coming with that, but I'm not ready to reveal that. But I am going to be talking about that, and that'll tie into the frequencies of where I communicate with. But for those of people who are very much into the naming of things, what you may want to integrate, if you so desire, totally up to you, is that understanding of the language of nature itself. People don't use the language of nature when they're working with it in the fields of profession that I've definitely come across a lot. But they do work through sound. Like I've worked with bird experts, the name escapes me is what that's called, but you'll know what that is. And that could be just people who also are citizen scientists or people who just love, have a passion for birds. They're very good at identifying each bird call. I am definitely, as I said earlier, not that. But what I can resonate with is the oneness of the unity of how the communication's happening, because I just don't see separation on any level. It does cause a tricky situation in some in this world because everything is considered separate. It's just tricky. It's just tricky, especially when you're in total non-separation. All energy merges. So I'll touch base on that and how I myself live with that. Because it's not always easy. It's definitely not always easy. So your circumstances might also have something that you find a little bit tricky. So there's correlations. You might not have the same circumstances that I'm going to share, but you'll also have situations in your life where, yeah, it's a little bit tricky. It's like going to a party and feeling really alone because you don't resonate with anyone in the party. So it's uncomfortable to sit there. So sometimes people go home, you know. I used to find that I'm not a drinker. And so I would go to a party and everyone was intoxicated with alcohol. I couldn't understand what anyone was saying. Oh, my goodness. It was way, way a long time ago. And so I'd end up going or then stop going, you know. It's not always the solution, but definitely I found that there was nothing there, so I left. So, but different things, different experiences. You find what your groove is until your groove changes and then you move on from that. So the other thing we'll be sharing in the podcast to come is the letting go. Letting go is pivotal to change. And there's one thing you can guarantee in life is change. Everything is always changing, moving, oscillating, and to feel the joy of that and the excitement of change. I actually love change. I feel if things aren't changing consciously, then I feel like I'm stagnating, you know. So I work within the field of bush care, and as a carer of the bush, as a carer of the self, which is also nature and my own nature, you know, but in an environment that does a lot of weeding and things like that and uses things that I, you know, feel ill at ease with, because I can tell when something is being oversprayed or annihilated with the energy within that sort of species of ecological community, which is also changing, then I can feel the saturation as though I've been sprayed directly. So, you know, I'll be touching base with all of that because it happens on all different levels and it happens on all different circumstances. You know, for me, it's nature. For you, it might be another working environment or another family environment that is a bit tricky, where you just feel really uncomfortable when you have a gathering of some kind, or maybe there's a discomfort within yourself. So through all the different podcasts, we have such a mixed content coming up. We can't say it's about one thing because we cover pretty much life itself, and you know how vast that is. It just keeps on keeping on. So thank you so much for joining us. We trust that you are evolving in your own beautiful, unique way that serves you for your highest and fruitful self. Thank you for joining us here in Simply Blooming. Thank you for being present and your participation in life. It is so highly valued in the scheme of the grand cosmos. Namaste from all of us here in Simply Blooming.
It's a good day, we got sunlight we can chase. We can see where it takes us, writing stories that shape us. It's a good time to find a little magic in the moonlight. All that we can discover in this sky full of wonder. We got everything beneath our feet, we see it all. Born for adventure, made to run free. And now we see it all with fresh eyes. There's a hope that you can take with the dawn of a new day. We got everything beneath. the feet, we see it all.